Well, I'm supposed to talk about end time signs. I have trouble getting there, brother. I'll get there. I'll get there. Just. Let me tell you what I've done, because I sensed a couple of weeks ago I wasn't going to get real deep into this stuff because of what Father was going to be doing this week. We're going to touch on it. And so what I did, I've been working on my seventh book, and this is all the study notes that I'm going to do my seventh book with. And it's in a study outline form. It's a great tool. I've got a bunch of extra resources at the back that I've pulled off the internet and some other stuff. It's not nearly the total, but it's. And what I did, I had my staff put this together for me this week, and I'm just going to sell this for the cost that it cost us to print it. I don't make any money from any of my books. All the money from my books goes to missions, and $5, and that's just going to cover our printing and the combs and stuff of binding it. And so here's what it is. They're up here. Drop $5 in the box and take the book. Okay, I'm not even And if you just really 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 can't even afford $5, take the book. I want you to have the resource. But if you would, that would just help cover our printing costs at the office, and it would make my bookkeeper kind of happy too. And so. I've got some information here about our Bible college. We have a 4-year fully accredited ABHA accredited Bible college. In fact, in April we got approved for a master's level program, and I just got just a little information about it and resource of how you can get more. If you want to get on the mailing list right there, I'll tell you more about that tomorrow. I just wanted you to know these resources are here. I am not here to sell stuff. That is not what I do. Turn with me to Matthew 24, would you please? But I wanted to get some resources into your hands, because in 3 days, I can't cover what is in this material. It actually takes 10 lessons to cover what's in that book. I've got it laid out in 3 lessons, but it takes 10. And I'm just going to touch highlights and then go to the emphasis that Father has given me each night. Because here's the thing. We got to understand why God gives us end time prophecies. It's not just so we can go really cool and draw dots and make charts and do cool stuff. There's a point. And the lessons your pastor heard, I was asked to give the details, and so he came and he spent however many sessions we had together those days, and I went through a lot of the details, but I didn't do a lot with the so what. God has impressed to my heart, we've got to talk about the so what. Because when Jesus gave this material on end time signs, he gave a so what to the world, and he gave 2 so whats to the church. And I want to look at those. And so we're going to touch each night a little bit on the detail of the prophecies and kind of where we are. Because that's just cool. People like to do that. And then we're going to look at the big so what. Because that's what's going to have impact in your life. I'm deeply concerned for the church in America. I am deeply concerned. I'm a prolific reader. I got 4 magazines that come to my house. I got several internet sites I go to keep up on current events. And I want to tell you, this last week, I think it was more than coincidence that the greatest prophet of this generation went home to be with the Lord. And at the same time, one of the greatest false prophets went to hell. I don't think that was coincidence, just to be really honest with you. That's personal opinion. The cool thing about personal opinions is you get to have one of your own. Okay? And you can take mine and you can fold it, spindle it, mutilate it any way you want to. It's okay. It's a personal opinion. But that really is my personal opinion. David Wilkerson had huge impact in my life when I was a really young Christian. And I was privileged to work with him in two or three crusades when I was a young man. It was an amazing privilege to be around that prophet of God, a true prophet of God. If you have never read his book that came out in 1973, The Vision, you need to get it and read it. If you have read it, you need to get it out and read it again, and you will be stunned at how accurate that man was as a prophet of God. But we're living in a time when it's like God is just taking all the strings and he's tying them together. I believe we're at the 59th hour. We're right there. We're just there. I mean, we've got seconds on God's time clock. And this passage of Scripture, the disciples came to Jesus and they said, "Lord, when will these things be and what are the signs of your coming?" And Jesus began going through this series of things to let them know. And I want to just read a few of these verses. I'm going to hopscotch through this. I'm not going to read it. You're an adult. You can go home and read. And so I'll expect you to do that, because this is where we're going to be tonight, and we're going to keep coming back to this tomorrow night and again on Friday night. Tomorrow night we will be looking at a different passage, but it will relate to here. Friday night, yet another passage, but it will relate to here. So here we go. Jesus said to them, verse 2, "See ye not all these things? Verily I say to you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down." That was fulfilled in A.D. 70. The Jews were rebelling against Rome. The Roman Empire's rule over them. That rebellion would go on for almost 100 years until in 135 A.D., the Bar Kokhba Rebellion, it would finally be put to a total end. It was during that time the whole events around Masada took place. And if you've never read about Masada or seen the movie is extremely accurate historically. And it's an amazing story. But it is a sad time of history. It should break your heart. Because what happened was, Rome sent Vespasian, who was the leading general of the Roman Empire, to march an army from Rome all the way to Palestine. Don't confuse what I just said with today's concept of Palestine. There are no people Palestinians. That was made up in 1954 when the Palestinian Liberation Organization was formed in Egypt. And they co-opted the term Palestine for their own political agenda to overthrow Israel and to drive Israel into the sea. Palestine is a word made by the Romans to refer to Israel. And for over 1900 years, Palestine always referred to Israel and Jews. It has been co-opted in this generation. So as Vespasian was marching the army from Rome to Palestine, to put down the Jewish rebellion, Caesar died. And the Senate called Vespasian back to Rome to be made Caesar. And his son Titus took over the Roman march. And he marched the army onto Jerusalem. And they surrounded Jerusalem and they sieged Jerusalem. And 1.5 million Jews died inside the walls of old Jerusalem in that siege. And Israel ceased to exist. The city of Jerusalem was destroyed. It was no longer the capital city of the Jews and of Israel because there was no Israel. It came under the rule of Gentiles in A.D. 70. And it remained that way until June of 1967. That is what Jesus was referring to here. And it is significant in understanding prophecy. Let's go on. Verse 3. And as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, "Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world?" And Jesus answered and said to them, "Take heed that no man deceive you." Please do that. There is a delusion that is going across the world. And it is going to get stronger. And that delusion is going to become so great, Scripture says, that even some of the elect will be deceived. And it is going to cause the great apostasy, the great falling away. And dear ones, we are in the early stages of that. There is so much deception and junk. One of the best things you could do for yourself is to... Do I dare say this? Sure. Turn off Christian television. I know there's good. I know there's good. But there is so much deception. And one of the greatest things you can do for yourself, dear ones, is get with your pastor and say, "Okay, pastor, give me the names of 3 really, really good quality, solid TV, radio preachers that I can listen to," and then shut the rest of them off. There is so much traffic in the brains of Christians through television, through MP3, and through all the stuff that there's so much confusion and there's great deception. Now, the other day I was sitting here thinking, you know, back in the 1980s, my staff kept trying to get me to get a computer. And I was the only one I was the only one on staff without a computer. And I said, "I don't want a computer. I don't want to have to learn computer." Finally, I broke down and I bought myself a Commodore 64. To play Frogger. It wasn't until 1991 when I finally got a computer. I said, "I don't want to have to learn DOS, and I don't want to. And they bought me this computer and said, "Pastor, you have to learn DOS. There's a new thing out called Windows." And I said, "Oh." And so I started a computer. Now, I can't live without my Droid. I carry this thing with me everywhere. I just ordered Wanda her Mother's Day gift. I ordered her a Kindle. We have 3 laptops. I have a PC, and there's days I want to blow them all up. Yeah. I can't believe the time we're living in. And in all of that, the church still doesn't know. Go to the next slide for me. Oh, I'm sorry. Let's stay right here a second. Jesus gave us, in this area, He gave us 4 major signposts. And they're arenas of signs. The first one is the beginning of sorrows. And he talks about earthquakes and famines and pestilence. And He talks about natural disasters. Dear ones, would anyone have believed in 3 weeks' time there would be 145 tornadoes? Would anybody believe that? Would anybody believe that we would have a greater than 9 earthquake on the Richter scale. Now, the one in Haiti and Chile, wasn't it like 8 on the Richter scale? Do you realize the one in Japan was 1,000 times greater than the one in Haiti and Chile? 1,000 times. They say, the experts say, if you ever have a 10, it will be major worldwide catastrophe. And that whole islands will sink if you have a 10. And this was over a 9. What was it, like 9.1, 9.2? It's stunning what we are seeing happening right now. That in just a matter of months, you have Haiti, you have Chile, you have Japan. None of us should be able to even question, are we living in the end times? But then you go to the next one and he says, this is when the end will come. And he gives these signs. The love of many will wax cold. Literally in the Greek, love will experience rigor mortis. Can you even question if that's happening? We see it everywhere in our culture. We are a death culture. Are you aware that in most high schools today, they are training children to look forward to death and to love death? And they will have them in the classroom write out their funeral and talk about what they think they're going to experience with, and they talk about how good. Listen, death is an enemy. The human body was never meant to experience death. Death was never supposed to be a part of the human experience. He is an invader that came by sin. Death is not a friend, it's our enemy. And the glory is when we give our life to Jesus Christ, death is defeated and we never die. See, you can't kill me. All you can do is send me to heaven. That's a favor. I never die. Satan can't kill me. It must frustrate him to death because he is the God of death. He is the Father of death. He is the Lord of death. But I have the Lord of life living in me. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in me. And He dwells in you if you have Jesus in your heart. Let's go to the third. Then shall come great tribulation. Jesus said there's going to be a sign that will let you know. Then is going to come great tribulation. I have to go back one more for me. Go back just one second. I didn't give her a script tonight. This is not her fault. God changed my message a little bit at the last, and so I jumped real quick and I changed my PowerPoint. And she doesn't have a script. And so if she does it wrong, it's not her fault. Everybody say, it's Dean's fault.
It's Dean's fault.
Good. Now I'll blame it on God. Now, then's going to come great tribulation. But then he said, then is going to come the sign of the Son of Man. The reason is because 7 years after the great tribulation starts, there's going to come a point when in the eastern sky, the heavens are going to roll back. And there's going to appear the Word. Riding on a great white stallion. And what's really cool, this city slicker right here is going to be riding on one too. Somehow, between right this moment and that moment, God's going to teach me how to ride a horse. I do real good with 4 wheels and an accelerator. But I'm not very good when it comes to horses. I unashamedly am a city slicker. But look what's happening. I want to go back now to point 3, if you will. How close are we to the Great Tribulation? Well, first of all, we got to understand there are these four components about the Great Tribulation. It starts with the rapture of the church. Now, if you are a mid-trib or a post-trib, it's okay. I just feel sorry for you. I believe Scripture clearly teaches a pre-trib rapture. I believe that it's going to happen almost simultaneously. That launches the Great Tribulation. There's going to be great economic and political crisis. Great economic and political crisis. We're watching a fulfillment of Ezekiel 32 even as we speak. Every morning when you read your news, you are reading Ezekiel 32. Because Ezekiel 32 says there's going to come a time when Egypt is going to collapse politically and economically. And when it does, the nations around her are going to go into great turmoil. Hello? But look at what's going on. Italy is bankrupt. Spain is bankrupt. Ireland is bankrupt. Greece is bankrupt. Bulgaria is bankrupt. Serbia is bankrupt. Croatia is bankrupt. And I can keep going. Now, I know these all still have economies, but do you know why they have economies? It is because we bought into this foolish idea we could just borrow money and prop up our government with borrowed money. Now, the experts of that is the USA. Folks, do you realize we crossed an important threshold this year when our indebtedness exceeds our gross national product? Historically, no nation has ever recovered from that. And he wants to spend $1.5 trillion more. Why not? We can just print it. Cool. What a great idea. We don't have enough money. That's like the person that says, I don't have any money, but I got checks in the checkbook. What a great idea. Cool. And that's what we're doing. And we think we're going to spend our way out of debt. But see, dear ones, there's a greater picture going on. Because Satan cannot reach his goal as long as America has been the America we have been historically. We have blocked Satan's plan. That was God's intent from the beginning. That's why he moved the heart of the pilgrims to leave Holland and come to America. They believe God had called them to come and establish a new Israel. Read it. It's in William Bradford's book. If you've never read William Bradford's diary, it's an amazing. It's amazing. What a man of God. He believed God called them here for that purpose. And this nation was founded on the biblical principles. And we were the thorn in Satan's flesh. And as long as America stood on the principles of God's Word and exalted God, we were the most prosperous, we were the most powerful nation. We could not be defeated. No military power, no economic power could defeat America, because the windows of heaven were open to us. We were under God's favor. When we threw God out, dear ones, there are four major things that America did, and you can literally go to those days and you can track the changes. I'm not just talking about when we took, of course, when we took Bible reading and we took prayer out of schools. Yes, that was the first one, and you can track. You literally can track, and you can watch the change in crime and the change in our culture. The second great one was the no-fault divorce. That literally plunged us into disaster. The next great one was Texas versus Lawrence, when our Supreme Court ruled that sodomy laws could not be upheld in America. And we adopted a homosexual lesbian culture. Legally, we adopted it. But the coup de grace happened when President Bush led us in the reconciliation service at the Washington Cathedral after 9/11. And instead of our president, our Christian president, calling America back to God, he let an imam lead the prayer, praying to Allah, the Father of Jesus Christ. And those were his words. He committed the same sin that the kings committed in Israel when he wanted to have the living God and the other gods also. And you can track from that time on, we went from a nation who was failing, and we had been going like this, and we literally, and you can look at it, you look at it, it literally goes like this. We are on the verge of exactly the rise of a one world government. Friday night, I'm going to walk you through step by step and show you that the one world government is in place now. They're simply waiting for the leader. And what this is all about, dear ones, the whole point of bankrupting America is because as long as America was in the economic success that we were, they could not form this one world government. We were the blot. Because we were the nation of God to the world. We've turned our back on him. And a political leader will arise. Of course, the Muslims, they're waiting for the 12th imam. They believe he's in the world today. I'm forever having people ask me, is the Antichrist in the world today? I've had people ask me, is Barack Obama the Antichrist? Well, he may be Antichrist, but he is not the Antichrist. He is Antichrist. There's no question about that. I know he says he's a Christian, but then he does all the Muslim stuff, so he can't be. Now, how close are we? How close are we? A hair's breadth away. Jesus said there is one sign that's gonna let you know the great tribulation is there, and that is when the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel. Go to the next slide for me, if you would, please. Six things about this abomination of desolation that has to happen. I can only touch on this. I don't have time to go into it in detail. The book has it in quite a bit of detail. First, the nation of Israel has to be reborn. That happened May 14, 1948. The Jewish people have to have control of the city of Jerusalem. That happened June 1967. Next, the Jewish people must have control of the Temple Mount. That has not happened yet. But the Temple Institute literally has all of the preparations for worship in the temple. I've personally seen them. One of the things that they were having great difficulty with was the holy anointing oil for the priesthood and the ashes of a red heifer. Those two things were a great problem to them. And then I do not remember, it's somewhere in the area of 10 to 12 years ago, they found also in the same area Qumran, where they found the Dead Sea Scrolls. They found a flask, and the flask had not been opened. And when they cleaned the flask, they found the seal of the high priest. And it was a flask of the holy anointing oil. And they were able, through scientific research, to discover the apothecary of the holy anointing oil. See, the holy anointing oil apothecary had been lost down through the ages. When the temple was destroyed in AD 70 and the final high priest died, the apothecary was gone. But they've rediscovered it and they now have the holy anointing oil ready. And there's a whole story of how they've been working with the ashes of a red heifer. That's a wonderful story in and of itself. We're waiting for that moment. Here's the next one. A world system must be established that will give rise to a world leader. We're going to talk about that on Friday night and how that is happening even as we speak. The next one, there must be war of sufficient stature that will cause that world leader to make a 7-year covenant. Isn't it interesting? This is why I there's so many little details in Scripture that point to a pre-tribulation rapture. But in Daniel chapter 9, it says that he makes a covenant for 7 years and then breaks that covenant half the way through. It sounds like Daniel must have read the book of Revelation. Or the one who gave Daniel his words is the one that wrote the book of Revelation. That might be a possibility. What do you think? And he makes this covenant and then he breaks it. But there has to be a war of sufficient stature that will make that happen. Are you aware that there has been declared a third intifada? Now when you read Ezekiel 38 and 39, you find there is this Muslim coalition with Israel and they attack, and then there's another coalition made up of Western Europe and the young lions thereof, and there comes this whole war that God wins by God sending down special hailstones from heaven. It's just an incredible story. If you've never read it, you gotta read it. It is like reading one of these novels. It's just incredible to read. It's amazing. And for the first time in history, all those nations are lined up right now. Never in history have all those nations been lined up like they're lined up right now. And here's the amazing thing. Some of you probably read about it in the news. The news has tried to keep it covered up. But just 3 weeks ago on Facebook, there was a declaration of a third intifada. Facebook had to take it down. But there have been 3.5 million Muslims around the world that have declared themselves in favor of the Intifada. The date is set for May 15th of this year. Just days away. The same time that the huge flotilla is setting out to try and break the blockade to Gaza. And they have coincided this. Now, is this going to be that war? I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that. I am just saying we are living in a time when the Ezekiel 38-39 coalition is in place and we are seeing rising to power right at the same time all this other stuff is happening. We are seeing it pull together like never before in history. It's amazing. And then the last one is, of course, he makes the covenant. We're going to get into that in a little more detail tomorrow night. I want to talk to you tomorrow night about the history of the one world government. The history of it. And it's going to be a brief history lesson that will be like no history lesson you probably have ever heard. I have spent over 30 years studying it. And I will give you some of my resources so you can go dig it out yourself so you can see I'm not giving you some kind of a snow job. But it is amazing. It is amazing. The next night, Friday night, I want to talk to you about, okay, that's the history of it. Let me show you where it is today. And a lot of the material I'm going to show you, I've taken directly off of the UN website and other websites by those people who are pushing for the one world government. It will stun you when you see how close we are. But so what? What's the big deal? Are you at Matthew 24? Look with me at a few verses. You want to go down to about verse 36, 38 right there, where he says, no man knows the day or the hour, but my Father only. What verse is that? 36, thank you. Nobody knows the day or the hour, but my Father only. Look right here. Nobody can tell you the day or the hour. And when you see people tell you, I know, run. Run, because that's not of God. No, Jesus Himself doesn't know the day or the hour. He is not going to know until the Father tells Him. By the way, that is all wrapped up around when you study the Jewish wedding ceremony and how much in time surrounds the Jewish wedding. That's a whole other story. I'll have to come back some other time and tell you that one, okay? But nobody knows but Jesus Father. And Jesus, Father, is who? Our Father. Hallelujah! And when He tells Jesus, go, we're going to hear it in our heart too. Going to be a great day. But here's the scary part. Jesus said, because nobody knows, it's going to be like it was in the days of Noah. Keep reading down. You're going to see it. It's going to be like it was in the days of Noah. I think that's 39, I think. Thank you. It's going to be like it was in the days of Noah. Dear ones, there is so much wrapped up in that statement that I don't have time to go into how that we are seeing things today that we have not seen in the world since Noah until right now. One of those things, well, I'm not going to go there because I'll get sidetracked. It's just an amazing. But here is the key point. He is saying, because, look, they were totally caught unaware when the flood came. Would you explain that to me? You got this guy building this massive boat. And like it's like nobody gets it. You are aware it had never rained. And so when Noah would say it's going to rain, everybody's going, what's that, Noah? Well, I don't really know, but I think the sky falls. And they didn't get it. And here is this massive boat, and nobody got it. And when it started raining, they still didn't get it. And dear ones, there are people in America that have been going to church, and they don't get it. And they're missing it. And it's a scary thing. I want to tell you, I have pastor friends that aren't getting it. And they look at me and go, oh, Dean. And they look at me like, you know, you really are a dinosaur. You know, guys don't preach what you preach anymore. We've moved beyond that. And I said, too bad. Because somebody forgot to tell God. Dear ones, listen. It is a scary thing to be around Pentecostals who really don't want to hear this stuff anymore. Because they are enjoying the world too much. A few years ago I had a guy who said, Dean, why don't you come preach for me on Sunday morning? I was kind of shocked he invited me to come preach for him because I know he and I weren't exactly in the same camp. And he said, come on, come preach. I said, okay, I'll come. And I got there, and he said, now, Dean, he caught me at the door, and he said, Dean, look here, don't get into this moving of the Holy Ghost thing. This is a Pentecostal preacher. Now, he knew me. He knew me, didn't he, Tom? Don't get into this moving of the Holy Ghost thing. All that. So just give us a nice sermon, and then we'll pray, and we'll get out of here before noon, and we can beat everybody to the restaurant, and then get back, and we can watch the football game. That was like saying sick 'em to me. Yeah. I looked him right now and I said, I don't watch football on Sunday. I don't watch golf on Sunday. If it's a golf match I really want to see, I tape it. And I watch it another day. But Sunday is the day of the Lord. I don't care. If that's getting under your skin and you're going, oh, he's not. Good. Let it get you real, real good right now. Because folks, listen. It's nonsense. We are right where the people of Noah's day were. Come on, give me a 60-minute service. Give me a 20-minute sermonette. Because what I really want to be is a Christianette. Because what I really want to do is love the world, but have my ticket punched for heaven. You have a surprise coming. Your ticket won't work because the wrong person punched it. Guys, listen. I'm really serious. This is a message to the world, and there are some of you, you maybe go to church, but you are of the world. And the message is to you. Because the very next thing he talks about is there's going to come a moment when there are going to be two people, and they are going to be out, he says, they're at the well. But what that meant was they're at Walmart. And one will be taken and one will be left. This is really going to happen. And there are two at work and they are working. And the one was a spirit-filled, on-fire believer. And the other kept saying to him, you don't have to be that way, man. Come on, you know. I grew up in church and I've heard this all my life. I've heard it all my life. And he doesn't believe it. But one day, the other's gone. This is really going to happen.
Yes.
This is not sci-fi stuff. This is really going to happen. And Jesus was giving all of this information we've looked at for this significant point. World, listen to me. There is coming a day and it's going to come when you least expect it. It's going to come when you least expect it. I love asking people, do you think Jesus is going to come today? And some will go, oh yeah, oh yeah, I'm ready, man, I'm ready. And others will go, well, I say, look up. Because you're not expecting Him today, that's when He's coming. That's when He's coming. It's when you least expect it. That's when you go, oh man, it's a sunny day. And you know, the world really isn't as bad as Dean talks about. And it's good. Jesus will come today. It's not. No, I don't think so. I've heard that all my life. I don't think He's coming today. Okay. All right. Okay. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Have a nice eternity. But you won't. Because you missed it. I'm closing with it. The high priest was wringing his hands, and he was furious, and he was in anger. And the room was filled with men who could quote the entire Old Testament. Pharisees knew not only verse by verse and could quote the whole Old Testament. They knew how many letters were in the Old Testament, and they could tell you what the middle letter was of the Old Testament. They knew it in great detail. And standing before them was Mashiach. And they didn't. And I'm talking to you tonight, and I'm telling you the truth, and some of you, you've heard it, but you really don't get it. And I'm calling to you, and I'm saying to you, it's never been like this before. Never in history. Never in history. I am a student of history. Never in history has it been like it is right now. There has never in history been a time when the world was united like it is right now. There has never been a moment like this in history. And it is all exactly the way Jesus said it would be. And I want to ask you, because dear ones, Jesus could literally come tonight. Are you really ready? Really? Truly? Do you know 100% in your knower, if Jesus comes right this moment, you're ready? If not, why not? You must, because you don't have time to wait. And I want to ask you right now, I'm going to ask everyone to stand with me right this moment. Listen. Truly, we do not have time to wait. We do not have times. Sir, you do not have another moment to wait. You can't afford to say, you know what, Dean, I'm gonna wait till Friday. I don't want to hear what the rest of you wait. I'm going to wait till Friday. You have no promise of Friday. You have no promise of Friday. You don't. You don't. But Dean, I'll do it. You don't have a promise of tomorrow. Honest to God, you don't have a promise of tomorrow. You only have a promise of right now. Behold, today is the day of salvation. And I say to you, if you do not know 100% certain that if Jesus splits the sky right now and calls us home, will you be left behind? Will you? Don't wait another moment. Come right now and say, Jesus, I'm giving it all to you, 100%. It's all to you. I'm giving it all to you. I'm giving it all to you. Don't wait another moment. I want to meet you here. We're going to give it all to Jesus. You come. Come now. Thank you, Father. Come now. You don't have 100% assurance in your heart. You're going. Come now. Come right this second. Come on, sis, don't wait. You know you've been playing games. You know you're a 50%er. You know it in your heart. Don't wait. Come on. Come on. Come on, sir.